It's beginning to rain, 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 to the voice of our Father. Sing, whosoever will come drink of this water. I promise to pour my spirit out on your sons and your daughters. If you're thirsty and dry, look up to the sky. It's beginning.
Hello, friends. This is Tex Mars, inviting you to worship with us today at Bible Home Church, coming to you from Austin, Texas. Hello, friends. This is Tex Mars. Great to be with you. We're going to continue our search of the Word of God, and we've got an interesting topic, really, we're going to be looking at in the coming weeks. You know, so many people seem to be gripped with fear. Fear, F-E-A-R. And they don't realize, they do not realize that fear is a sin. You know, the Bible says very clearly that love, perfect love, casts out fear. And our responsibility, and in fact, it's our pleasure, really, as Christians, the very first of all commandments is that we are to love God with all of our heart. That's perfect love. And if you have perfect love, then you have no fear of what the world can do to you. But many Christians are confused about this. And, of course, they say it's only human, it's only natural to be afraid of certain things. Well, friends, that's true. It is only natural. It is only human. Therein lies the fabulous nature of the Christian life. We are supernatural beings, made so not by our own works, but through the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. And thus, it is possible to escape fear. To live confidently, to live jubilantly, to be optimistic about the future and not fear the things that go on all about you each day. Oh, there seem to be so many things, terrorist activities, terror alerts. Certainly it's true that you could be injured, harmed, even killed this very day from somebody carjacking your automobile. From somebody smashing into your automobile, perhaps on your way home. You can slip in your bathtub while taking a bath tonight or in your shower and harm yourself. We fear for our loved ones. A child might run out in the road or a grandchild of ours and be hit by a car or a truck. Of course, they could fall into a ditch. They could go swimming at a swimming hole and never come up out of the depths of the water. All these fears. A dreaded disease might be in our body right now. Maybe we're going to lose our job tomorrow. What are we going to eat? What shelter will we have if we cannot pay our mortgage? So many things to torment us, to cause us to doubt the security that we find in the Lord Jesus. But friends, we're going to talk about how to cast away these fears, why it's wrong to be fearful. We can lead a victorious life. And that's what we're going to be talking about in this great series that focuses on the Word of God, but will have plenty of practical advice for you. I promise you. You'll like this series because it is victorious. And after all, it's victorious to be a Christian. Well, we have a beautiful tune for you now by the Cathedrals. A great old classic. And I believe that in the rendering of this song, it just seems to go right with our message that we're going to have for this week.
If you could see what I once was, if you could go with me back to where I started from, then I know you would see a miracle of love that took me in its sweet embrace and made me what I am today. Just an old sinner saved by grace.
I'm just a sinner saved. I'm loved and forgiven, back with the living. I'm just a sinner saved by
Revelation, it says that Jesus Christ is the very spirit of prophecy. Unfortunately, today most churches don't even preach prophecy. Their pastors know nothing about it, totally confused. And I've spoken with a number of
Methodist, Presbyterian, Lutheran, and others, and they said, well, we just don't see where prophecy has any meaning. And you know, in discerning as I do the spirit of those men, I understand what they mean. For them, it does have no meaning. There is no meaning for them. They're not true men of God. Most men in the pulpits today are not. There is a darkness in the pulpits of America. And that is, as was prophesied too, for in the book of Amos it says that in the last days there will be a great famine throughout the land. Not of food, but of the preaching of the Word of God. And people will be so desperate and hungry just to hear the Word of God preached, they'll travel great distances, even across the seas, just to hear the Word of God preached. Boy, isn't that coming true today? Many people write to me and say, Brother Tex, there is no church in our area that is preaching from the King James Bible and preaching the true Word of God. And let me tell you something, I believe them. They're not being picky. They're just being faithful. And the pastors have abandoned God. Now today we're going to look at a subject that a lot of people don't really want to face. They really don't want to talk about this. They give it a lot of platitudes, a lot of homilies. But I'm telling you, when it gets down to the nitty-gritty, they'll run from this topic. But, you know, it seems that the very thing that men run away from, Christians run toward. Isn't that an odd thing? I've often said that God is a contrarian. I mean in terms of what men think. What we think, he doesn't treasure at all. What we think is fantastic, he thinks is trash. And I've learned now what men value the most, I should not give much credence to. And other men whom are the most respected and admired men in the world, I've learned to look very hard at, to be very suspicious of. Friends, when everybody is patting you on the back and saying, what a good guy you are, you better watch it. God's probably not very happy with you. I have found my greatest blessings come when persecution comes my way. You say, what? That's right. The more persecution is heaped on me for Christ's sake, the more blessings I have received. And I've also found that if I will just persevere, even when the hard times come, when persecutions come, if I will just persevere and say, Lord, I'm going to trust you anyway, then before long, my blessings will come and they'll be so many I just can't contain it. Today I'm going to talk about the fear factor, F-E-A-R, the fear factor. We're going to examine such questions as when should you be fearful? When to fear? What should you be afraid of? What to fear? And finally, whom to fear? Who is there that you should be fearful of? Fear. It seems today there is a universal fear about, certainly here in the United States. Desperation seems to be the lot of most people. Desperation is increasing and hope and optimism seems to be fading away. Yes, some kind of a universal, scary type of fear is tugging at most men and women's hearts today. It's growing, it's gnawing, it's tearing at every man, every woman. Now, I want to explain that to you, friends. People are worried about the economy. Oh, it seems like things are improving a little bit, but will they drop again? Will the stock market fall through the floor? Will there be economic panic? What about my job? Might I lose my job? What about if the jobs are outsourced to foreign countries? What am I going to do about losing my job? How am I going to live? What if I get sick and I can't work anymore? I don't have health insurance, or what I do have is insufficient. What if I don't have enough savings and I get old? What am I going to do? I'm old already and I don't have enough savings. What am I going to do? A lot of people are fearful because of finances. They owe bills and they look at the bills that come in and then they see the puny amount in their checkbook and they said, what am I going to do? And they're afraid. The bill collector cometh. What's going to happen? Everywhere you see fear, we're told to be afraid of the terrorist. And everybody is. You turn on TV, turn on news, and they're always telling you what stage of alert. How much should you be fearful? Is it severe? Is it moderate? What is the level of fear you should have? There's a whole department of government now, Homeland Security, that tells you how much you should fear. I never thought I'd have there'd be a department of government. I mean, it seems like every, you know, few years we add another department. You know, there's the department of this, department of that, department of education, department of health, education, and welfare, which has now changed to something else, and on and on. Now I guess you might say Homeland Security is sort of the department of fear. And Mr. Ridge is the secretary of fear. He's a fear monger, which means he propagates fear. But he doesn't have to do much. The media seem to be helping. Do we have to be fearful of more hijackings by terrorists who grab hold of aircraft? Maybe. Anthrax? Smallpox? What if it's sent to us in the mail? Will we survive? What if they poison our water system and we drink what looks to be a nice, clear liquid, but it kills us, makes us sick? What if terrorists bring in nuclear bombs so small they can be put in suitcases? We hear those exist. And they blow up an entire city. What if they sabotage a nuclear plant? Hundreds of thousands could go up in radiation, smoke, death. We're told that they might put bombs on trains, subways. They might use trucks. We grow fearful. Pandemonium, fear, being afraid. There's even a movie called, you know, Scare. Another one called Scream. In fact, I think that's gone into sequels. There's Screaming Movie 1, 2, and 3 or something like that. Then there's movies like Matrix, Panic, Sudden Impact, The Day After, meaning a catastrophe is going to occur, flooding. And by the way, there's enough of real floods and real hurricanes and real tornadoes that we worry about them too. It all depends on where you live. You live in Kansas, Oklahoma, Texas, watch out for the tornadoes. Up in Idaho, watch out for flooding. Ohio, flooding. California, earthquakes. Florida, hurricanes. Texas, hurricanes down in the Galveston and on the Gulf Coast. Mississippi, Louisiana. North Carolina, hurricanes. Fear grips us. Mad cow disease. Ebola virus. Eat a hamburger, you die. Touch the wrong germ that you don't even see, it begins to eat away your flesh, flesh-eating bacteria. You'll be dead in a couple days. Get something contaminated with the hantavirus, 48 hours later, you can't breathe, you're dead. You go out to take a little walk in the woods, some tick bites you, you've got another kind of a virus. And then while you're driving some night, a UFO could come, abduct you. Some people are fearful of that. They've seen Bigfoot, Sasquatch, all these things. You never know what's out there going bump in the night. There's movies about that too. If we don't have all of those things, what about Big Brother? The police state, the American Gestapo, they're building the gulags. Yes, they are. They indeed are. See, some things you really should know about and be concerned about. Not all these things are fakes. You may laugh about your brother or your friend who's concerned about UFOs. You may say, ha, ha, ha. But you'll have to admit there's some things you're afraid of. You're going to lose your job? Will you ever get another one? You afraid of that? Could be. You afraid to fly an airplane today? You say, no, I'm not. Oh, really? You could die from a hijacked truck that smashes into your building. You could die from some Arab terrorist nut who straps a bomb to his back and goes into your office building. Or goes into your home and plants a bomb. Because he heard you're one of those conservative conspiracy people. Or maybe you just don't like Muslims. You don't believe in that religion. He's heard about it and decides to kill you. Are you fearful of that? Some people are. There seem to be all kinds of enemies everywhere. Some of them are really apparent. Some of them exist. Some of them don't. Many are hazy, nebulous. We're suspicious. Can we trust the military? Look what they did at Abu Ghraib, Greg prison. We thought, well, if anybody, you could trust people in uniform, really? When I was a kid at school, they showed friendly policemen wearing their blue suits, helping a little boy or an old lady across the street. They're here to help you. They would always have a smile on their face. Now we watch all the TV programs and they're badgering people, beating people, tricking them in interrogations. They take out guns and tell the bad guys, we're going to kill you anyway. They plant evidence. And you know what? In real life, they're planting plenty of evidence. Even the FBI has been justly, accurately accused of fabricating evidence in their laboratory. The head of the FBI's laboratory, Frederick Whitehurst, admitted it. He was a whistleblower. I guess you can't trust the FBI. I guess you can't trust the military. You can't trust your local police. They've been known to take a rubber hose and beat confessions out of a few people. You might be the next one that gets the rubber hose. Certainly you can't trust. You have to be fearful of politicians. Was it Will Rogers who once said that every day that Congress is in session is another day we have to fear for the Republic? I fear every time Congress is in session. What law are they going to pass next that'll take away our freedoms? You can't trust the clergy. I have a couple of good friends, a husband and wife. They said their pastor seemed like he loved Jesus. He was a good guy and everything. He went off to some seminar in New Mexico. He came back and said, I learned something new at this seminar I never knew, and I want to teach the church this Sunday. And they looked something new at a seminar. Went to New Mexico at a seminar. They were real curious what he learned new that the whole church needed to find out about. He says, I discovered that Jesus had a shadow. There were like two Jesuses in one body. There was the Jesus of light and the Jesus of darkness. Jesus had a shadow. And all of you have a shadow, and you need to come to love and appreciate and embrace your shadow. Well, after the service, they went up to their preacher and they said, Pastor, where is that in the Bible? He said, oh, this is not in the Bible. This is Jungian psychology. Have you ever heard of Carl Jung, the psychiatrist? He came up with this theory about everyone has a shadow. So Jesus must have had a shadow, too. And you and I have a shadow. We must come to love and appreciate our shadow, or we're not whole. They said, but we thought that believing in Jesus could make you whole. Oh, that's the old theology, he told them. That's under revision now. As time goes, we'll discover more and more about our shadow. Well, they decided that they just really didn't want to know much about their shadow. In fact, they just decided, this couple, they were fearful of what this clergyman taught, rightly so, and they parted ways real quick with that church. I checked recently, though, and that pastor has a bigger church than he's ever had. It has tripled the attendance before he discovered that Jesus had a shadow. It seems that the people going there now, they're not afraid at all of what that clergyman is teaching. I think they should be, but they're not. Someday, though, because they're bought into the lie, they will be fearful. They will be afraid. And I would have some advice for the people of that church and that pastor. Be afraid. Be very, very afraid. Yes, some things we fear unnecessarily. We're irrational, they say. You know, psychiatrists, and I have almost no respect for psychiatrists, zilch, nada, none. And I used to teach psychology at university level, so I think I know a little bit about psychology and psychiatry. They say if you fear too much, you could be insane, schizophrenic, paranoid. You could fear everything. But not everybody who's paranoid or called paranoid is insane. I mean, sometimes they really are after you. Maybe you're just more alert, more aware to the fact that they're after you. A couple wrote to me just last week, a man and his wife. They live alone in their home. Their kids, I think, are grown or whatever. And they came home one day and turned on the TV and it didn't work right. And they checked the back of the TV and the VCR wire had been taken off and been fiddled with. And whoever did it put it back on wrong. They hadn't done it. When they left, the TV worked just fine. They come back from, you know, going out shopping a few hours, come back and the TV, somebody had been messing with it. They believe it was Big Brother that did it while they were gone. Maybe put a microphone or something or a hidden camera in their TV. You say, oh, they're just paranoid. Really? Well, who did that? Seems to me their fears are justified. Or at least their concerns. I'm not saying they were fearful. They didn't actually tell me they were fearful. They just said, looks like Big Brother's on to us.
If you're thirsty and dry, look to the sky. It's beginning to rain.
You've been listening to Pastor Tex Mars and Bible Home Church. Please join with us in worship next week as we continue to honor the remarkable Word of God.